We ask kids from Kids Planet what the most important thing is to look for in a friend. Here's what they said.
If they want to be nice to you, if they want to be goofy to you,
integrity and something in common.
What I look in a friend is really, really kind and really trusting.
The truth, respect, kindliness.
Friends that are nice and play a game with me.
It's important that friends are helpful like me.
That we like the same things.
And if they want to be funny to you.
A good heart and trust.
They don't talk over me and they're kind.
Love and friendliness.
The most important thing to look for in your friend is kindness.
Goodness and someone that cares about me.
It almost makes you wonder if the parents were off to the side telling them what to say, you know? Those were some really great answers. We're in the middle of a little series on parenting. We're going to finish this series up next week. But before I get into that, I want to give you some information about what's coming up this Easter. So on your campus, you're going to see your particular service times. Let's put Easter service times up on the big board if we could. And so you can see there's lots of opportunities to choose from to celebrate Easter this year. We have 8 services at the Riverside campus, multiple services. Some of the multi-site campuses have added services as well. So start looking over that and start making plans. So you want to start inviting people to come with you. We got about 3 more weeks until Easter, maybe it's 4. And so you want to rearrange your schedule for what works for them. So that person you've been praying for, that more than likely they'll say yes to coming to Easter. So make those plans now with them so you know what you're going to do. Now, the week of Easter is going to be very, very exciting. We have stages of the cross. Let's put that up on the board. We didn't do stages of the cross last year. We're doing it this year. It's a different experience than we've had in the past. It's still an interactive walkthrough experience. We've shortened it from 45 minutes to a 30-minute walkthrough, and it's more immersive than it's ever been before. So make sure you take advantage of that. I had a friend of mine, I said, did you go to Stages of the Cross this year? He said, why would I go again? I've already been. I think he thinks that the last week of Jesus's life on this earth is entertainment. It's not for entertainment purposes. It's for you to reflect, for you to meditate upon what Jesus has done and get yourself in the right frame of mind for when Easter comes, you know exactly what you're celebrating because you know what it is that he sacrificed. And then for the first time in Sagebrush history, we are going to be offering some Good Friday services. We've never done that before, but we're pretty excited about it. And honestly, we're a little bit scared because we're only going to offer 3 at the Riverside campus. And if your campus has a Good Friday service, you see already on the screen what the times are. Ours are 10:30, 11:30, and 12:30. You say, Todd, how's that possible? It's a 30-minute service. That's all it is. It's 30 minutes. You're going to walk in. It's going to be dark. It's going to be unlike anything we've ever done before. After 30 minutes, we're going to walk out very somber. Because we're going to leave on Good Friday after those services knowing that Jesus has died for our sins, and we're going to feel the same emotion that the disciples felt. They thought all hope was gone. And then when we gather back together again at the Riverside campus, we even have a service on Friday night, so he's going to rise really fast, if you know what I'm saying. We'll be prepared and we'll be ready to celebrate like we've never celebrated before because death has been defeated, sin has lost its grip, and the grave has lost its sting. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord God Almighty. So we have lots to look forward to. So make sure you look at all this information is on the Sagebrush app, okay? All you got to do is open up the Sagebrush app, the very top banner, just click on it, gives you all the information. There's also opportunities on the app to invite your friend via text. All you got to do is hit the button. It comes up on your text. You write what you want to write to say to them, and then you send it off. Send it off to as many people as you possibly can. We're going to have a great Easter this year. All right, now let's get into the message today where we're talking about friendship. He was an average kid. Not a great student, but not a bad student. Didn't cause a whole lot of trouble. Got himself in a little bit from time to time. Everything was going pretty good in his life until he got to his junior year of high school. It was his junior year of high school when all of his friends left him and abandoned him because they were all upperclassmen and they had graduated the year before and they were heading off to their different colleges. Well, it's difficult to make friends. And the only people that seemed to be interested in making friends with this young man were the partiers of the school. Now, he made a deal with his younger brother that they would never, ever involve themselves in drugs or in alcohol, and because they had both had a front row seat to their older brother engaging in those types of things. And so they made a pact. They promised each other they wouldn't do it. Well, loneliness has a way of getting its very best at you, where you find yourself in places with people doing things that you never thought that you would do. And the night that he came home drunk, the only sounds in the home that night were the sounds of him throwing up over and over again. Well, the parents were very concerned at what had taken place, and they sat him down the next day to have a conversation. And he said, you know, I've learned my lesson. My partying ways is over. You don't have to worry about this anymore. But he continued in with the friendships of these new people. And he continued to go out and he continued to party with them. And it was rare for him on a weekend not to be drunk or to be high. Well, his parents saw him spiraling out of control. And so they went into his bedroom to search to see what they might find. And there they found an assortment of pills and packages of marijuana. And now they were extremely concerned about his present and his future. I think it was safe to say at this moment in time in his life, as everything began to spiral out of control, he cared more about what his friends thought of him than what his parents thought of him. Look at what the Bible says here about friendship. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, don't be misled. Like that young man, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Proverbs 13:20 puts it this way. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Now, what's the principle here? Well, we become like the people that we hang around with, right? You've heard the old saying, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. We become like them. Think about your closest friends, the people you have in your inner circle. You probably have an awful lot in common with them, right? You probably have the same likes, the same taste. You probably have the same political party affiliation. It's very rare to see a person who's a Republican, a Democrat, getting along in the political climate that we have today. We have lots of shared interest with each other. That's what makes friendship friendship, right? And there seems to be a way in which we influence each other. When we want to know about something, who do we turn to? We turn to our friends. Say, have you got any good restaurants to go to? Who do you ask? You don't ask a stranger. You don't ask the internet. You ask a friend. Is there a good movie that's out right now? Is there a good television show to stream? Who do you talk to? Who do you ask? You ask a friend. And our friends have unbelievable ability, don't they, to influence us for good or also to influence us for bad. I'm just guessing, for those of you who smoke, that the first time you smoked, you didn't smoke alone. I don't think you woke up one day and said, I think I'm going to walk down to the gas station, get me a pack of smokes. I don't think anybody did that, right? You had someone in your life that was a smoker. They offered you a cigarette. You lit up, and now you have the habit to go with it. It all started because of the influence of a friend. I bet the first time you drank a beer, you didn't drink alone. Tell me you didn't become a raging alcoholic on day one. You were already drinking alone. Please tell me that didn't happen to you. My guess is that you were at a party and there was a girl there or a guy there. There was someone there that you wanted to impress. You were felt insecure. You felt lonely. They handed you a beer. Everybody else was drinking. And so you decided that you would fit in with the crowd too and you would drink. And even though it tasted disgusting, remember the first time you tasted it? Ugh. Why would anybody drink this? You endured, didn't you? And you learned to enjoy the taste of an alcoholic beverage. Why did you do it? Why did you need it? Because you wanted to fit in. You wanted to be included. I bet the first time you had sex, you didn't do that alone. I bet you had a friend, right? Yeah. Just stick with the theme, okay? It was your boyfriend. It was your girlfriend. You didn't think I was going to go there. I did. In the same way that our friendships can influence us for bad, they can also influence us for good. That baptistry over here is a living witness to the power of friendship. We baptize lots of people at all of our different campuses, and many times we'll stop the person before they get baptized when they're ready in the back room, and we'll say, hey, how did this take place? How is it that you're here today to proclaim your love and allegiance to Jesus? And they'll say, you know, my life was going pretty good, to be honest with you. I was pretty successful. Everything was going well, but I still felt an emptiness inside. I felt like something was off. And then they'll point out behind the curtain. They'll point out over in this section because that's where they sit. They'll say, it was that friend right there. They invested in me, and they invited me to church, and I listened to what you had to say, and there was something that resonated there. And then when that opportunity came to make a decision for Jesus, I felt like something was taken over me. And so I asked Jesus into my life, and those empty feelings that I once had, I've now got meaning, I've got purpose. I'm here today to proclaim my love and faith in Jesus Christ. And then they'll point out again, and they'll say, and it's because of that guy right there. It's because of her right there. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. That's the power of friendship. Look at the Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. It says, a righteous man, someone who wants to do right by God, is cautious in his friendships. So what does that mean? It says you need to be cautious in the people that you put in your inner circle. So let's put this through the filter of being a parent. You want to be cautious. You want to teach your kids to be cautious as to who they put in their inner circle. Now, the good news for all of us is that the Bible gives us lots of characteristics of types of people that we shouldn't put in our inner circle. And we're going to look at several of these passages of Scripture together through the book of Proverbs. And I think it's going to be very helpful. Now, let me preface this whole talk by saying this in advance. We should love everybody. We should care about everybody. We should pray for everybody. But not everybody should be in your inner circle. Not everyone should be in your child's inner circle. You should love people. You should pray for them. You should invite them to come to church. But don't put them in your inner circle, because every person you put in your inner circle is going to influence you. And is going to influence your kids for good or for bad. So here's the question you always have to ask yourself when it comes to friendship. Am I the influencer or am I the influencee? Am I the one leading this person to a closer relationship with Jesus, or is this person leading me farther away from Jesus? Now, think about that in the context of the kids, your kids. Is that friendship they have drawing them closer to Jesus, or is it leading them farther and farther away from Jesus? So there's going to be some characteristics that we're going to look at. Let's look at them. First thing the Bible warns us about our inner circle is we should not put a person in there who has no regard for God or for his ways. Proverbs 1:10, my child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone. Join just for fun. Let's ambush the innocent. Think of the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff that we take. Come throw in your lot with us. We'll all share the loot. My child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their paths. There are some people that will try to get into your inner circle, and some people who will try to get into your child's inner circle, and all they want to do is the wrong thing. And all they want to do is they want to lead you to the wrong thing. That word entice in that passage of scripture means to allure. It means to persuade. So we need to ask the kids all the time, hey, is this friendship helpful to you? Is this friendship helping you in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you spurring one another on? Like iron sharpens iron. Are you guys sharpening each other for the things of God and for the kingdom of God? My kids would come home and I would ask questions about their new friends that they had. And I would say, well, let me ask you some things about this person. Where do they go to church? I don't know. What do you think you might want to ask? Hey, where do you go to church? They don't go to church. You invite them to come to church here.
Okay.
Hey, do they have a relationship with Jesus?
I don't know.
I still hear it in the middle of the night in my dreams.
I don't know.
Well, how do you not know they don't have a relationship with Jesus?
Well, we never brought it up. We never talked about it before.
Well, do they pray? Do they read the Bible? Do they believe anything about God?
I don't know.
Sound like a donkey, doesn't it?
I don't know.
Maybe the place I should have started was, where do you go to church? To my own kids.
Sagebrush.
Yeah, we go to Sagebrush, don't we? What? Okay, that's good. Have you given your life over to Jesus?
Uh-huh.
Does he mean everything to you? How are you doing reading the Bible? Have you been talking to God lately through prayer? Are you developing a personal relationship with Jesus? When's the last time you've had that conversation with your kids? Because I had that conversation with my three girls again and again and again and again. Because this is the most important thing you'll do as a parent is help them to develop their own relationship with the Lord. You don't want them to develop a relationship with the Lord that's through you. Why do you go to church? Well, my mom and dad do. Why do you call yourself a Christian? Because my mom and dad called themselves Christians. You don't want that. So you want to challenge them. Let me tell you something to be true. This will scare you to death. If your kids don't take the things of God seriously in their life, they won't find friends who do. And just because you bring them to church and you think you're going to find all these great godly friends in our student ministry or in our kids' ministry, you are naive. We got jacked up kids. We do. If your kids aren't looking for someone who's serious about their relationship with Jesus, even in our student ministry, they can align themselves with kids who want to lead them to do the wrong thing. At the end of the day, the only thing that's going to keep them strong is their personal relationship with Jesus. Now, they shouldn't blow other kids off. We should love everybody. We should love them. We should pray for them. We should invite them to church. But we don't put them in our inner circle. Look at what the Bible says here. Proverbs 14, verse 7. Stay away from a foolish man. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Stay away from the one who's going to lead you astray. Stay away from the one who wants to lead you to do the wrong thing, who's trying to get you as close to the edge without falling over. Stay away from that person. Let me give you another one not to put in your inner circle. It's a hot-headed person. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25 says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." There was a little boy who had a bad temper, and his dad was very concerned about his son's bad temper. And so he said, listen, every time that you lose control of your temper, I want you to take a nail, I want you to take the hammer, and I want you to go outside the back fence, and I want you to drive the nail in with the hammer into the fence. Well, the kid had really a bad temper, very stubborn, obstinate little booger. And so he would go out there all day long, and one day he put in 37 nails in that fence. Talk about a temper problem. Well, over time, day after day, week after week, month after month, he grew tired. And he began to realize that it was easier for him to hold on to his temper than to let his temper get the best of him and hurt and wound somebody else and have to go out there and drive another nail in that fence. He finally came to his dad, handed the dad the hammer and the nails, and said, I don't need them anymore. I've got control of my temper. The dad said, that's great. I'm so proud of you. Now, here's what I want you to do. Every day, you don't let your temper get the best of you. I want you to go outside, and I want you to pull one of those nails that you've put in the fence. I want you to pull it back out. Well, you can imagine, it took him over a year to do it. And finally, after the course of a year, he had pulled every single nail out, and he said, Dad, all the nails are gone. The dad said, you've done well, son. Now look at the fence. It's scarred up, isn't it? All those nails you drove in are like words you drove into someone else's soul. And you can say you're sorry all day long, but when you pull back what you said, you still leave a scar behind. That was a lesson, needless to say, his son never forgot. Why did the dad... Why was he so concerned about his son's temper? Because he knew the damage he would do to himself, and he knew the damage he would do to somebody else. Why does the Bible warn us to stay away from someone who's got a short fuse? Because you will become a hothead if you hang around with hotheads. And if you don't become a hothead hanging around with hotheads, you will be wounded either physically or emotionally by the words of a hothead. So the Bible would say, stay away from the person who wants to fight you all the time. You got anybody like that in your life? The person who constantly, you know, blows up over the dumbest things. Oh, love them, pray for them, invite them to come to church, but don't put them in your inner circle. Let's look at Proverbs 6. It warns us of some more people we need to be cautious of. There are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Let's talk about haughty eyes. What's haughty eyes? That's a prideful person. This is the person who thinks they've got it all figured out. This is the person who thinks the whole world revolves around them. This is the narcissist. It's easy to figure out if you're friends with a narcissist. All you got to do is pay attention to what you're talking about. Because the narcissist, all they want to talk about is themselves. And they're never, ever interested in you. They'll say, hey, how's it going for you? Oh, it's going pretty good. Well, let me tell you what's going on in my life. And they'll go on and on and on and on, and you'll hang up the phone and you'll look at somebody and they say, did they ever even ask about you? Well, yeah, they asked quick, but I said we were good, so that 45 minutes was all about them. Do you know why it was all about them? Because it's all about them. They don't care about you. Let me tell you the dark side of friendship. Every friendship you've ever had has a motive. And most of people's motives are to get something off of you. They're not there to love you. They're not there to put you first. They're not there to serve you. They are there to be served. And as long as you can provide something for them, as long as you give them whatever it is that they want to fill their ego, they will be your friend. But they don't care about you. They care about what you give them. They're takers and they're not givers. And every single one of us has had at least one person like this throughout the course of our life that we allowed into our inner circle, and they destroyed us, didn't they? Listen, love them. Pray for them. Invite them to come to church. Do not put them in your inner circle. Let me give you the next one. A liar. It says a lying tongue, doesn't it? There was a family that was traveling, and... The flight that they had was canceled, so they needed to get another flight. So they ran over to the ticket agent to get a flight as fast as they possibly could. And they were going through the family, and the ticket agent said, now, how old is your youngest? And they said, well, our child is 4 years old. Now, here was the caveat. They were running a special at the airline, kids 4 and under, half-price tickets. Well, the kid didn't look to be 4 years old. The kid looked to be 6, 7 years old. And the ticket agent was like, are you sure that your child is, you know, 4? Yeah, 4 years old. Well, they didn't want to cause a big scene, so she just rang them all up and sold them the tickets. But the parents, they turned to grab the luggage, and when they did, the ticket agent turned to the little boy and said, now, how old are you really? He said, I'm 4 years old. She said, "Do you know what happens to little boys who lie?" He said, "Yeah, they fly half off." Sinner, sinner, what is up? You're like, "I've done that one."
You know, I'm going to be honest with you.
Proverbs 12:22. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. If your kids hang around with a liar, it's just a matter of time before they start lying to you. And you need to teach your kids that in every relationship, there's this thing called a foundation of trust. And it's only kept if someone's being honest, if both people are being honest in that relationship. But if one person is a liar, well, their foundation erodes over time, doesn't it? To where it gets to a point where you can't believe a single word that person says from their mouth. And when that's over, when you can't trust what the other person has to say because they've lied to you again and again and again, that relationship is over. Proverbs 27, verse 6, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. So what does an enemy do? They multiply kisses. That means they lie to you. You're heading down a path of destruction. They're trying to continue down that path. And you're saying, "I don't know if we should go. Oh, man, this is going to be the best time ever. Let's go for it. Let's do it." Now, wounds from a friend can be trusted. A friend is someone who says, "Hey, we're not going there. We're not doing that. We're not playing the game of how close can we get to the fire without getting burned. That's a stupid game. We don't want to end up in the end of the night either burnt or smelling like smoke. Let's just stay as far away from the fire as we possibly can." And you're like, "Oh, man, what's wrong? Come on, let's go." Wounds from a friend can be trusted. When a friend stands in the way and says, "No, we are not going that direction. That is not honoring of the Lord, and we're not going to do it." That's a friend you want to keep. But an enemy multiplies kisses. They kiss you down the road to destruction, lying to you along the way. Hey, pray for those people. Care about those people. Invite those people to church. Don't put them in your inner circle. How about this one? Hands that shed innocent blood. What's that mean? It means someone who has no compassion for anybody else. This is the bully. Teach your kids to care about everybody. This is the bully who sees the weak person and picks on them, makes fun of them, laughs at them, tells jokes that aren't appropriate about someone. Stay away from someone who doesn't stand up for those who are weak and for someone who can't stand up for themselves. Let me give you the next one, a false witness. Now, this is different from the liar. This is the gossip. This is the person who can't wait to share damaging information about another person to build themselves up while tearing someone else down. And let me tell you about the gossip. You ready for this, friends? If they come and they gossip to you about someone, it's just a matter of time before they're gossiping about you to someone else. That's a gossip. That's how gossips do. So pray for them. Care about them. Invite them to church. But don't put them in your inner circle. All right, so that's what we're not supposed to put in there. So what should we put in here? Well, how about this one? Let's surround ourselves with someone who loves God with all their heart and their mind and their soul and with all their strength and who want to live for him. Those are hard to find. A very wise person once said, if you have friends, count your friends on your hand and they're true friends, you're a rich person. You see, Facebook, Instagram, all the social media makes you think if you have thousands and thousands of friends, that makes you somebody. No, it doesn't. If you don't have somebody like this in your life, if David didn't have Jonathan, and so for a lot of us, you go, "I got 12,000 friends on Facebook or 12,000 followers on Instagram." How many real friends you got? Because I can count them on one hand for myself. Friends that I put in my inner circle. How about this one? Surround yourself with people who are patient and kind. That takes out a bunch, doesn't it? People who lift you up and help you become the person God created you to become. How about this one? Surround yourself with people who are humble, who are genuinely interested about you as you are generally interested in them. Surround yourself with people who care about you. Surround yourself with people who put the needs of others ahead of themselves and make sure you're doing the same thing. They hold you accountable. How about this? Surround yourself with people who will speak the truth in love to you. Do you have anybody like that? Surround yourself with people that care about others and who brag upon your strengths and care, cover your weaknesses, and never talk behind your back. That might be the best slide other than the first one. Do you have anybody in your life like that? Most kids don't. And that's why they end up with friends who lead them astray, and you wonder why your kids started drinking. You wonder why they started smoking. Well, they never took their relationship with God seriously, so they surrounded themselves with people who never took their relationship with God seriously, and they all were led astray, going down the wrong path. And mom and dad just sat there on the sidelines, not saying a doggone word. So it's time to get involved. Time for you to know who their friends are. And maybe you need to ask the questions of those kids when they come over to your house or we're on their ball game. Hey, what church you go to? Hey, tell me about your relationship with Jesus. If your kids won't ask the question, maybe you should. Hey, what have you been studying in Scripture lately? Tell me about your prayer life. How are you doing in your relationship with the Lord? And if they don't have one, maybe it's time to look at your kid and say, do you? Hey, we should love these people, pray for these people, care about these people, invite these people to come to church, but you stop letting them influence in you because they don't have the things of God at heart. So here's your homework assignment if you choose to accept it. You get to go plug into your kids and their friends and ask them first about their own relationship with the Lord. Do they have a personal relationship with Jesus, or is this just a 1 hour on the weekend thing to do? And if you're not a parent and you don't have any kids, well, here's your homework assignment. You get to go home and write down the names of your friends and go back over this message and say, do I have any true friends? Do I have anybody who loves Jesus, who brags on my strengths, covers my weaknesses, and never talks behind my back? Do I have anybody who's helping me in my relationship with Jesus Christ? Are these people influencing me, or am I influencing them? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, friendships are hard. We've all been burnt. Every single person here has been burnt by a friend. Someone who said they had our back only to stab it. Someone who we thought had our best interest at heart, but in reality, their motives were impure and all they cared about was themselves. And as soon as we couldn't provide what they wanted us to provide for them, they were out the door and we were left high and dry. So hard, Lord, to find friendship, especially for our kids. So many kids aren't mature enough to even handle friendship. They've never had it modeled. All they've seen is bad examples. Help us to have the hard conversations. Help us to get our kids to aim for something better, something greater. Lord, what we're looking for is a friendship like we have with you. You're the one who laid down your life for us. No greater love's ever been shown than when you, our friend, our Lord, our Savior, our everything, laid down your life for us. Lord, help us to find people we can put in our inner circle who love you desperately and who can spur us on to being godly people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.